Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
WEEI Afternoons with optimistic Andy Hart, who's being called out on the text line because I said the Red Sox are going to win 3 of 4 in New York, and somebody said, 207 says, Hart, didn't you say you were hitting the panic button? Now they're going to take 3 of 4? Holy smokes, my dude, I thought you said you didn't smoke. I'm emotional. I'm reactionary.
Oh, good. So it's not just the producers who are noticing it.
Yeah, I ride an emotional roller coaster. It's part of my charm.
That? Oh, the wind is turning today. Oh, he's positive.
Yes.
Yeah, good luck making a field goal at Hart Field today, because once again, the goal posts are moving.
Nope, I'm just optimistic. Had a good day. And Ted Johnson's in the house. What's up, Ted?
Hey, boys. How we doing?
We're doing great.
Good to see you guys.
How are you feeling?
I'm feeling good.
Just, you know. It's a big sports night, big sports weekend, a lot going on, cuts, Red Sox, Yankees, preseason finale.
I'm very, very excited this time of year. It's, I mean, it doesn't get any better for us in this business as far as content that is provided. Intriguing storylines are plentiful, so I'm here for it, man. I am here. You know what? I didn't take any vacations. A lot of guys take vacations.
Brag.
Nope. You know, I am here, boots on the ground, working. For you.
We should remind you, about 30 minutes from now, we'll talk to our buddy Tom Curran, who Fitzy says will give us Phil Perry's thoughts on the preseason finale, roster battles, would-be trades, and everything else that goes into it. And then an hour and a half from now, 4:30, we'll talk to Rob Bradford about the password, getting the call up ahead of this big Red Sox-Yankees series. And I promised it before we went to break. I got to pay off a tease. I think it's the law, actually, in this business. So, Ted, I'm going to need you to give me your attempt to spell Justinkson Garcia, the password, his first name. I'll even give you the first letter. It's a J.
J. Johnson Xtyn U.
Wait, what?
Yeah, Justinkson. Nailed it.
It was going so well at the beginning, too.
And then he added a U at the end for some reason. But you're not alone. You're not alone. Lou Maloney got so frustrated that he swore at the end of it. So the proper spelling, if anyone is still wondering, Johnston. Justinkson. And I'm not even sure I'm pronouncing it right, but that's what I'm going with for now until somebody tells me to stop.
So I've looked into that. This is kind of like a Willie or Abreu type situation where there's about 3 different pronunciations floating around the internet, and it may change. I read it changes based on the accent. I think it just changes based on the day.
Okay, good. So we can all just call him the password.
Justinkson, Justinkson.
Also, people are already enjoying the password. The password might unlock a new lineup for the Red Sox. I'm going to enjoy those.
Man.
You know I like those kind of play on
words.
Yeah,
but there's something we do at 3 o'clock, isn't there? So
it
is.
Okay, it's time for the 3-point stance.
3-19. It's the 3-point stance.
I'm going to count to 3.
Tatum puts up a 3. Bam!
Easy as 1, 2, 3.
Pasternak, a hat trick, and a 4-3 Boston lead.
3.
WEEI Afternoons.
Time for today's 3-point stance here on WEEI Afternoons, brought to you by Jeffrey Glassman Injury Lawyers, Boston's go-to injury attorney for over 30 years. If you've been hurt in a car or work accident, you and your stupid password puns got to get Glassman. Call all sevens at 617-777-7777. 3 o'clock here on WEEI Afternoons. 3 hosts, each of which will present their stances on the biggest stories in the world of sports today. Our order, Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy-Stevens, and Ted Johnson. Andy, you get 60 seconds for your opening stance. Are you ready?
Sure am.
All right, here is 60 seconds. Go right ahead.
So I'm going to advise everybody, watch the preseason finale tonight between the Patriots and the Giants down in New York, but do so with some, I don't know, emotion, some compassion. Don't just do the, oh, we're not going to see Drake May and Stephon Diggs and all these guys and Christian Gonzalez, so this is stupid football, meaningless football. It is not meaningless to the guys that are playing. I think Ted Johnson will back that up. He's been in the league for, or was in the league for a long time. He knows that dreams are either magnified or crushed potentially tonight. Guys can make rosters. They can make plays that'll get them on future rosters, future opportunities to carve out roles for themselves in football. And also remember, it's football. Every single time these guys step on the field, whoever they are, they're putting their body on the line. Literally, their careers on the line, their health on the line. They were the best player on their high school team. Their parents, their grandparents, their friends are all watching to see them go catch passes from Jackson Dart or defend Jackson Dart. So let's not poo-poo or dismiss the preseason finale. Just because the stars may not be out there, watch it, enjoy it, appreciate it, and at the very least, respect it for four quarters.
Ted, have you been in that situation before? Early preseason games earlier in your career when you're kind of looking over your shoulder? Did you ever kind of have that experience?
You know what? I was pretty lucky. I didn't, no.
It was pretty good.
It feels like.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I've never.
But you probably observed it around you.
All the time. And my heart always went out to those guys that, were playing, just like Annie said, for their careers. You felt for them. There's a lot of guys that you befriended in the off season and the training camp, and you just really liked, and you just knew that the odds were that they were probably not going to make it, just based on the usage, how they're used in practice leading up to the final preseason game and then the preseason game. So if you're getting a lion's share of the snaps in this preseason game, chances are you're probably not making the team.
Right.
So it's tough. I mean, it's the shortest career span of all the major sports for a reason. They want to get younger. They want to get faster. They want to get cheaper all the time. And so they churn out rosters unlike any rosters in sports. So it's a tough, next few days, really, for a lot of guys that you meet that come in. And there's so many guys I feel so bad sometimes, that they'll say, hey, so-and-so said he played with you. And playing with you means they were there for, 2 weeks before they got
right.
cut. So
right.
that's the nature of the game. So it's Andy's spot on in saying that it'd be worth your time if you're a true Bats fan to kind of watch and see how these guys perform. Because
for a lot of guys,
it's the last time they'll ever play football again.
Yep.
Yeah, sorry to jump in, but I love watching the battle for 50 to 53. These are the guys who know their jobs are on the line, their football livelihoods, and they're going to play as hard and fast and tough as they can. So, if Javon Baker's NFL career is at stake, if some special team or some linebacker, this is where you prove it or lose it. This is always a hard fought game, guys, if nothing else.
It'd be better if we all knew who they were going to be watching, who were the Patriots watching?
Right.
I wish we could just, they wore a different colored jersey or something. So
right.
These are the five bubble guys. So just watch these eight guys and see how they do. It's just, there's going to be a bunch of players and really not sure, unless you've really been watching intently, who are the bubble guys. I think we kind of know who they are because we do this for a living, but for the average fan, they're not going to know.
But I would even go deeper than that. I think there's a country song that says I was like a third string player on a second place team, but I'll always remember that one hit kind of thing. There's going to be guys covering a kickoff in the fourth quarter that know they're no longer Patriots as of this weekend. They know they have no shot in hell to make the team. And if you run down full speed and run through a block and then try to blow up a returner, even though you're really going to get nothing out of it. You're doing it just because you're a professional, a competitor, whatever. I respect that so much.
You might not be a Patriot, but there's the film doesn't
right.
lie.
That's
the films,
true.
There's
uh-huh.
there's other teams that are watching. So most of these guys are going in there with the idea of, I'm going to put good film on there because more likely than not, I won't be on this team, but there might be a team out there that could use my services, and I just want an opportunity.
And even in this day and age, I guess Canada and then UFL, there's even those options. If you can put together a good highlight tape in this game, maybe that gets you a shot in the UFL in the spring.
God bless those guys. You got to really love football.
Yeah. Ed, that's...
But some of them end up becoming pros. How about the kicker for the Lions who was hitting 60 yard kicks?
Different.
Yeah, that's
going into a second season.
Kicker.
Yeah, I think Ted's talking about guys.
I'm riding
offensive linemen, linebackers
struggle to put their body on the line year round. Because you got to do it year round if you're those guys.
That's right.
Because you're doing it in the summer for the NFL practice squad. If you're lucky, then swing back around in the spring and play a league, and then get back right back on it to try to get back in the NFL.
Player that does that loves football
absolutely.
And not believe it or not, there's guys that are really good at football, really good. that don't love the game.
Right.
They're blessed with a skill set that makes them better than most at that, you know, at this sport. And so, but it doesn't mean their heart's fully in it. It's the guys that love the game but just don't have the athletic ability that you always feel bad for.
That always blows my mind. Sorry, Fitzy, go ahead.
No, I was just going to ask Ted, if there was ever a player in those 10 different training camps that you went to that, you know, you heard a lot of good things about, and then when they got there, they even surpassed the expectations you may have had, or, you know, like, oh, this second round pick comes in with a pretty high pedigree, and they get there, and all of a sudden you're like, holy smokes, this guy's the real deal.
I've seen it both ways. I've seen some guys come sure. in with the pedigree and all the fanfare, and you go, ooh, wow, you know, and you can see it early on. And then there's some guys you never heard of, like a Sean Morey, who just every single day showed up and worked his ass off and pissed off Ty Law every single day, you know, and made the team and played 13 years in the NFL. So, you know, you hope that's like mm-hmm. an Efton Chisholm type story. They're long shots, but they happen from time to time. So those are the stories that are always fun to watch as well.
All right, let's move on. Nick Fitzy-Stevens, are you ready?
I am indeed. Let's party.
Let's party with 60 seconds. Go ahead.
All right. Well, we've been talking about what a huge, important game this is tonight for the Red Sox, what a huge series this is for the Sox against the Yankees. But there's also another big game going down in New York. Well, actually, technically New Jersey tonight, and that is the aforementioned preseason finale for your New England Patriots against the New York Football Giants. And one player that we're not going to see play tonight is starting quarterback Drake May, among many. And given that we learned earlier today that Jalen Polk is going on season-ending IR due to a shoulder injury, possibly putting the entirety of Elliott Wolf's 2024 draft class at stake, there's more riding on just, you know, resuscitating the New England Patriots and bringing back hope to Foxborough this season for Drake May. Because basically at this point now, only Drake May can save the potentially disastrous 2024 draft. If you stop and think about it, he might very well be the only member of the 2024 draft class to make the New England Patriots and be an active member this year. Javon Baker could be cut. Marcellus Dial down for the year with an ACL. Laden Robinson could get cast aside as well. Jalen Polk's already gone. It's an absolute mess. So to think that the stakes are pretty high for Drake May this year is putting it lightly.
Yeah, that seven-player group, May, Polk, Wallace, Caden Wallace, Laden Robinson, Javon Baker, Marcellus Dial, Joe Milton, and Jaheim Bell, those are your players, and it's not necessarily a group of potential all-pros that you're talking
about.
Where
the hell has Caden Wallace been?
I think he's been banged up.
Is he on the side of a milk carton? Has anyone heard anything from him?
Non-factor. I think he might be getting caught.
Him, City, so you haven't heard much.
The whole thing.
Laden Robinson. Those.
Yep. No, it's not good. As the Alex Cora drop likes to say, not great from that draft class. And, you know, it was always going to hinge on Drake May. When you take a quarterback in the top three, that's what we're going to remember. Either he's the franchise quarterback he's supposed to be, or he's the bust and he moves on at some point. But to get nothing out of it, supplementary, complementary, that's where this team is lacking. This is where, Ted, you keep talking about depth and you have to go out and sign free agents and do the, it's because of drafts like that. And the one alarming part of it, Fitzy, is the guy who was ahead of that draft is still theoretically near the head of the most recent draft. And that's Elliott Wolf.
Yeah. He's far, far from making the decisions, though, I guarantee.
No, I know, but he's still at least part of the room.
He just reports back to the big boss. What the other guys are saying in the room.
But then how heavily involved, this does ask the question, I think we knocked this around on a few couple, several six rings, Andy, but how involved was he, how involved was Matt Groh in previous drafts as well, which we always held Belichick's feet to the fire for, like, who took Tyquan Thornton? Excuse me. Who took 2025 Kansas City Chiefs training camp sensation, Tyquan Thornton? Who chose Cole Strange? Who was at the heart of all these decisions that have been hurting the Patriots that have made Stretch and Cowden and Vrabel's
Belichick.
Job
Belichick.
That much harder?
Belichick. 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 Who is the subject of my 3 points.
Oh, then let's roll right into it.
How about that? We don't even need a tease or a setup. Go ahead, Ted.
All right, so Belichick, we got about 11 days before UNC play takes on TCU September 1st, 8 o'clock Monday night. I can't wait. But Bill is in the news. He did a one-on-one with Ben Volen, surprisingly. And so Ben went down to Chapel Hill to do some interviews, and And this is let me give you some highlights from the interview, okay? See if a theme, or see if this sounds familiar. But, you know, he just asked Bill, quite, you know, simply, you know, what would define success for your program? A winning record, you know, a spot in the college football playoff, that kind of thing. Bill says, I don't know. Bill grumbles, just stringing days together. So Bill, off to a good start in the interview. You know, asked about, you know, having Steve and Brian, his two boys there on the staff. He says, I enjoy it, and I always wanted to be in college football. Really, always wanted to be in college football.
And why didn't you?
Working with a lot of people I like to work with, and I enjoy coming to work with every day. Sound familiar? Interesting thing is, Jamie Collins, you guys remember when he traded Jamie Collins to the Cleveland? It was like, wow, you talk about a guy he just can't stand, Jamie Collins. Yep. Why do I bring up Jamie Collins? Because he is the linebackers coach for the UNC Tar Heels, which is so, you know, just typical. There, and this is the humdinger of a quote from Bill here. He says, there's no owner, there's no son, in reference to coaching in college. There's no cap. Everything that goes with the marketing and everything else, which I'm all for, but it's way less of what it was at that level. There's no owner, and there's no owner's son in college
football. Whatever does that mean?
Who could he be talking to?
It is amazing
Jonathan.
To me.
Jonathan!
How this guy acts.
Jonathan!
Like he had no power here. It was, right. He goes on to say, the generic NFL teams, you have the owner, the president, general manager, personnel director, college director, pro director, cap guy. I'd say when we had our best years in New England, we had fewer people and a more direct vision. And as that expanded, it became harder to be successful. Mm-hmm. Cry me a river. Unbelievable. It's still, you know, he gives an interview for Ben Volen, and those are the juicy parts of he's still taking shots, can't help himself. He's still bitter. He was the highest paid coach for years. He got chosen over Tom Brady. He got whatever he wanted, the power right away, and he still isn't happy.
It's so sad that he wanted to go to college for so many years and he couldn't do it. It's weird.
Yeah. I mean, because he's being held back, right?
It's almost like he could have done it any time he wanted.
Yeah, right. So
right,
true.
Like any college in the country would have hired him in the mid-2000s, mid-teens, right? When he was still, if he really wanted to go to college, hell, I'm sure he could have gotten a job in the college after 96 when he left you guys, right? Or whenever. Anywhere along the line, he could have gotten a job in college football. But it's sad. He never got to do that. That's really unfortunate.
And that's really where he's always wanted to be.
Yeah, I know. I could tell.
There was a really good point Megan Ottolini made during the midday show when they briefly addressed this article. You know, and John Lyons was, you know, he's a big fan of Belichick, read the book. He's going down to catch a game at UNC. Mego kind of just sort of like, she's over the sniping back and forth between Team Kraft and Team Belichick. This does seem exceedingly petty and a little bit blind for Belichick to mention no owner's son. Coach, your coaching staff is riddled with, sons.
If you haven't figured him out, I mean, all he does is walk and contradict.
Absolutely.
Everything he does is a walking contradiction.
Hypocrisy. It's a hypocrisy issue. I do think it's interesting, though. So Jamie Collins got traded, as you said. The idea at the time was he dumped him to Siberia, which was Cleveland. And Mike Lombardi was on this very station on the morning show shredding Jamie Collins.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he said, freelance, can't play, can't do this.
Yep.
And now Jamie Collins is working with Bill Belichick and Mike Lombardi.
What did I say? Walking contradiction.
It's
everything
so weird.
That's what he does.
It's absolutely nuts. But and I also love how you think I move the goalpost or I make, you know, fraudulent goalposts. What's success? Well, really, it's about stacking days. You're full of crap. Success is go make your college football playoff. They're paying you $10 million a year. They invested another $20 in the roster.
Can't wait to see how this works. I can't imagine it working. The win total for North Carolina is 7.5. They had 41 transfers, which was the second most of any school. That transfer portal, it was ranked 9th nationally, so they got a good haul.
Yeah.
One of the interesting tidbits of for Bill down there at UNC, you know, they have at these big colleges, they have weekly radio TV shows coaches do. Uh-huh. He's doing one.
I saw that.
He's only doing one. And so way to promote your school, Bill. Actually, it's not like they're not going to have the weekly radio hits. It just won't be with Bill. It's going to be with Mike Lombardi.
He likes to talk.
Oh, he
unless
doesn't
it's,
ever shut
unless it's with
up.
Jones and Keefe, and they might want to ask about Bill Belichick. Then he doesn't do the interview, and we're all better for it.
We're going to get we're going to effort to get my old linebacker buddy teammate Chad Brown on next week to talk about. He's doing the color for that game, so I'd love to get Chad's thoughts on Bill going
absolutely
into it.
As he prepares. I wonder what his access will be like to Bill Belichick in preparing
limited.
For that game. Yeah, that'll
very,
be
very limited.
That'll be interesting. All right, that's going to do it for 3 Point Stance on a Thursday afternoon. Up next here on WEEI Afternoons, our buddy Tom Curran to break down the Patriots preseason finale in New York and potential trades and roster cutdowns. That's next, but first, Dan Ball has...
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
What's trending? Back here at WEEI Afternoons on a Thursday afternoon at 3:30. That means it's time for our buddy Tom E. Curran from NBC Sports Boston. Tom Curran is brought to you by Drains by James, Eastern Mass's leader in residential and commercial drain cleaning and pipelining at drainsbyjames.com. At Drains by James, they give a poop about your pipes. Tom Curran, what do you give a poop about in this Patriot preseason finale?
You know, maybe getting final eyes on a guy like Javon Baker or my guy Dirty Del Pettis or
Dirty Del.
Marcus Epps, trying to really determine. We're not going to conclude anything that will probably have great relevance in the early portion of games or the designed lineups throughout the season, but we're going to see some depth. But it's just that kind of thing. How polished are they still even down the roster in terms of getting in and out of huddles? And what's their play style? So not a lot. Probably less than I would take out of a joint practice, to be really honest, Andy. And I think that most fans would agree.
Hey, Tom, the second biggest cap hit on this team is Kyle Duggar. And everybody wants to know, what do you do with Kyle Duggar if he's not going to be starting? Do you keep a guy making, you know, has a $15 million cap hit as a backup? What do you think ultimately happens with Kyle Duggar here in the next week?
I imagine they move on from him because, you know, you have the cap space to take the cap hit now. You can trade him and try and see if someone will take on his, I believe, $9 million salary, or if you can offset that salary a little bit and get somebody to give you a draft pick, and maybe they'll take 3 and you can take 6. But to me, you have to cut bait. It's a 4-year, $58 million contract. It's a $15 million cap hit this year if he stays on the team. And if you release him, you're going to take $14 million in dead money, but at least you're going to duck the long-term ramifications. So you have the room to admit your mistake now and take the cap hit and move on. Why is he a mistake? I don't know. I don't think he's a horrible player. He's certainly not a $15 million player. There are a lot of panic buys perpetrated by Elliott Wolf last year when he realized nobody wanted to come here as a free agent, and they had a oodle of guys who were coming up with contracts. So they said, let's just vomit this money out on all these players. And by and large, they were stupid moves.
Tom, what about the offensive line? Do you think we'll get a peek into what the starting five might be by the end of tonight's game? Because I can only see 2, maybe 3 spots that are definites with Campbell, probably Moses, and Onwenu. I don't know who's starting at center, and left guard is your guess probably as good as mine?
Yeah, I really think that Bradbury will be the starter at center and Wilson will be the starter at left guard. I think last week was much more about trying to establish position versatility with those guys. Wilson had a little bit of an injury, nothing radical, but I think they wanted to give him a minute to rest and also give Ben Brown a chance to play out there to build his versatility. That's their intention is, I believe the five are kind of set. Campbell, Wilson, Bradbury, Onwenu, Moses. So I'm in a different camp. I did not look at last week. And you know, I did talk to people around the team indicating that this was not a refutation of anybody's abilities. It was more, let's get some looks at these guys and spots that they might be asked to play in.
Tom Curran, NBC Sports Boston, with us here on WEEI Afternoons. Tom, I probably buried the lead. What are we expecting in terms of playtime tonight? Are we going to see some starters? Are we going to see Drake May? What are you expecting?
No, I don't think you're going to see any of those guys. Eh. The indications that I've gotten and Phil has gotten are that you ain't going to see none of them. And they put together a practice earlier this week that kind of indicated that, not just with the intensity of the 11-on-11 practice, but the end of practice gassers and everything else that they went through kind of showed that that's the direction that they were headed.
Tom, it's not the sexiest question, but I'm curious who backs up Robert Spillane. I mean, look at it. It's Marte Mapu right now is the guy that backs up Robert Spillane. Is that really? The guy that played free safety last year for this team is now going to be the backup to the middle linebacker.
I don't even know if Marte Mapu is going to make the team. I haven't seen him do dink.
Yeah,
in 3 years, I really haven't. I don't know who the backup to Robert Spillane is necessarily. I mean, Jelani Tavai, he hasn't practiced all through camp after an OTA injury. The linebacker crew is one that I have kind of spent little time on myself because it's so non-existent. You know, you get a million secondary guys and you have guys up front, but between Spillane and the other fella, who's the other fella, Bennett?
Ellis.
Andy, help me.
Ellis, Christian Ellis. Christian
Ellis. Ellis, Gibbons.
Excuse me, Christian Ellis. And then the free agent that they signed, they used to put Gibbons. That's it. That's all the linebackers. But they're not a linebacker-driven team, Ted. So that's not a sexy question, and I certainly kept my my bloomers on for that entire question.
Sorry, bud.
So, Tom, the specialists, you know, I know you're not a fan of young kickers, rookie kickers. You like old kickers. Looks like Parker Romo may be emerging as the favorite to win the job. Do you think tonight we get a chance? I mean, this is kind of what we're watching for tonight, right?
Yeah, 100%. It's a guy who you will rely upon to put points on the board from 40 yards out. You know, say your drive stalls at the 40, you need points. A 57-yard field goal. Can Parker Romo make it? I saw him do it this preseason. Can Borgalis make it? I did not see him do it last week. He knocked it into the lumber yard. So, to me, it's an important thing. And he spent a draft pick on it. You know, as bad as Elliot Wolf is and has been and will continue to be until further notice, the long snapper slash kicker in this year's draft was not a stroke of genius either. But I do look at this, you know, they're going to, if they end up releasing Baker, whatever ends up happening with Polk, who we now know is not going to play this year, and the rest of the draft picks, and then draft picks like that this year with the kicker, it's just, how do you duck the blame if you're Elliot Wolf? How do you dodge having someone come to you and say, it's all right, man, everybody blows $40 million on players? I don't get it.
Speaking of ways maybe Elliot Wolf could dodge the blame, I think the most obvious way is Drake May becomes top 5 quarterback, top 8 quarterback, his third overall pick from a year ago. But there's been, I heard Phil Perry on your station say, well, there's been some regression at times, threw that word out there throughout the ebbs and flows of the summer. As we approach regular season football, how you feeling about Drake May and where his trajectory is going?
Feel fine, honestly. I think any regression you're seeing is perhaps a regression in performance because more is being put on his plate. It's like taking a course as a semester begins. You start with the easy stuff that you already know, and then you start to move into things that are a little more difficult, and your opponents might do things that are a little more difficult. To me, I'm not seeing a kid who's just turning in a paper with no answers on it. He's got some wrong answers, but I don't think it's a 50. You know, he goes to Minnesota, goes against a very difficult defense, and shows poise, knows where the ball is supposed to go, and then the game comes, and he throws high twice. And throwing high twice, and I'm not blaming Phil, nor am I blaming Greg Bedard, who, you know, said that at this point he would prefer Orlando Woolridge and his, you know, mechanics to Drake May. Like, come on, can we relax a little bit? I know it's Ben.
I was like, who the hell is Orlando Woolridge?
You don't know who Orlando Woolridge is?
No, should I? Should I? Is that a real person?
Yes. Oh. He was a Bull, Chicago Bull. Might have been a Piston, too.
Okay, that was a long time ago.
He went to UCLA. Listen, but how can people be unable to strap in for the normal cycle of a 22-year-old quarterback who's got a boatload of physical talent that is sometimes going to be experimented with? And again, high throws suck. Picks to Alex Austin at the end of an inter-squad scrimmage suck. and stupid decisions to fumble at the beginning of a preseason game suck. But I just, we got to stop opening the oven and seeing if the cake's done. Just give it a little time, for God's sake. This idea, and Greg Bedard had said it, and Greg watches closely. I respect his opinion. I respect his willingness to give many opinions. But the notion that his fundamentals haven't improved one iota compared to the stuff that we were seeing at North Carolina or last year at the beginning of camp when Alex Van Pelt basically stripped him down to nothing and made him work on every single thing. I'm not seeing a guy who's throwing off platform with his pee-pee heading towards the target at every time and trying to throw off platform every chance he gets. I'm looking at a guy who looks like a high-level NFL quarterback who occasionally gets a little wild and does some silly things.
Yeah, I'm with you, man. Let that cake bake a little bit. All right. Someone I think is pretty much a sure bet is Travion Henderson. What could you potentially see him? How would you see him being used? What do you think, you know, his ceiling is for this team this year?
It's really interesting on usage, Ted. You're probably not going to see him have a 1,200-yard rushing season or anything like that. Just because I don't think that would be a smart idea to use him that extensively where he's getting the ball. 300 carry backs just don't really exist anymore. I would imagine you don't want to give it to him more than 200 really either. Would you guys agree with that?
Yep.
Yes.
At this juncture,
mm-hmm.
Three backs? 150
with 50 catches out of the backfield or 40 catches. You know?
Perfect. But I would expect him to be the most dynamic of the three running backs. But that's not to say the other two guys aren't good. Antonio Gibson, I think, really showed last year, in his first year with the team, that he was a good and useful player. And I would imagine that he can continue to do that. And there is a skill set that Ramondre Stevenson brings, while he also brings some faults and foibles. There's a skill set that he brings that the other two can't. I mean, he just is a punishing guy, Ted. I mean, you wouldn't have liked to have tackled him.
Nope, no thanks.
You wouldn't have minded tackling Travion Henderson. You wouldn't have minded going up against Antonio Gibson. But eventually you would have said, friggin' Stevenson has it. Here we go. Boom.
Yep.
We wouldn't have loved it.
So, Tom, it looks like the legend of Efton Chisholm is trending towards making the team, which makes that one hell of a camp story and, gives Josh probably another one of those little shifty slot guys that he loves to integrate in the offense. What do you think is going to happen to Kendrick Bourne?
It's really hard. You could either, put him on IR, which I don't think his injury would rise to that level. It didn't seem that dire. You can release him and then put him out there, or you can just wait for him to get better. And my guess is the absence of Folk now officially doesn't weigh into it that much, but maybe the injury to not only to Chisholm, who left with a foot injury and has kind of been last week, it appeared, and has kind of been had his reps measured this week, if any he took. And Kyle Williams being in concussion protocol might necessitate them making sure that Bourne sticks around because he's not useless. He's just getting to a point where the younger guys should be boxing him out. And, 2 weeks ago, Baker looked fine after going one catch on seven attempts, having a false start, and stopping a route in the back of the end zone. He's back kind of where he was, not entirely, but he took steps back last week.
Tom, real quick before we let you go, there's been a lot of chatter about potential trades. Do you think we will get any trades, and could any of them be eyebrow-raising?
I think Jennings would be the number one trade likelihood because he's a friggin' good player, and it's a shame he's not going to be here because he's good, and he's not bad, he's good. So I think
this
would be bad. Mm-hmm. He would be the most likely guy, and he has a very manageable contract as well. I think it's like $1.8 million, $5 million cap hit. So they're going to carry about $2 million in dead money from him. But they can move him, and he's useful. That would be ideal for a player-to-player swap, which I think the Patriots should be looking for right now in terms of maybe wide receiver depth or offensive line depth, or even a straight pass rusher. If you got one back there in the back room, we could use one of those.
All right, he's Tom Curran, NBC Sports Boston. Enjoy the preseason finale, and we'll talk to you next week after the roster is set.
All right, guys. Thanks so much.
See you, Tom. Thanks.
Tom.
Up next here on WEEI Afternoons, we will react to a couple of those little tidbits that Tom Curran dropped on us here. That's up.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Next. Nailed it. Tom Curran, NBC Sports Boston. We talked to him moments ago. If you missed that, you can go back on the Odyssey app and listen, rewind. You can follow WEEI Afternoons podcast on Odyssey or iHeart or Spotify or anywhere you get your podcasts. I thought that little, I think they call it movie postering, right there. Like, stop opening the oven door. Stop opening the oven
door.
That's
a great line.
In the end, the cake may suck. Maybe it gets burnt. Maybe it's undercooked. Maybe it doesn't taste good. You put too much baking soda instead of baking, but whatever. But let's get to the end where it actually comes out of the oven. The little timer goes beep. Okay, it's ready. Open the oven now. Like, I thought that was really well said, because we all fall victim to it, right? Like, that's the one thing. I think we all fall victim to either watching a practice or reading. Phil Perry said he was, you know, threw this many high balls and one hopped it and bad throws. We all fall victim day to day. But, like, we do need to step back and just kind of let it all settle in and let the cake cook.
Yeah, we just, I think what part of the problem is we all see potential in this kid and we want it to hurry up and get there.
Yeah.
Hurry up and get there. Be the developed guy. Be the player that we all think he's capable of being. I think what makes some people worried is I'm not hearing enough. Like, very rarely do I hear anybody say he's had a brilliant practice.
Right.
He was
dominant.
You know, every now and then, can you have just a practice where you're just, you kind of get that runner's high where you can't miss?
Right.
That happens every now and then, during the season and in a practice, and he hasn't had one of those. And so it gives you this, like, okay, wait a minute, how good is this guy going to be? Because we're not even seeing, like, flashes of brilliance yet.
Right.
Like, just flash for me every now and then.
Yeah. Save that, please, Stiz. Clip that off.
If I had a nickel.
But
wouldn't the world be better, though, if women just flashed us all the time?
Absolutely.
You know? Yeah, we'd all be better.
But we'll get back to football. And I would say an example of that, Fitzy, would be what J.J. McCarthy did against the Patriots. Remember that second day when we started reading, J.J. McCarthy's carving up the Patriots?
16 of 19, yeah. Five
like
touchdowns.
Right.
He hasn't
that,
had a day
right,
like that.
If I'm a Vikings fan, there's questions about J.J. McCarthy. Yeah. But I'm like, remember that day he went 16 of 19 with five touchdowns
That's
in that stretch?
That's the point I'm trying to make. Very good point.
Yeah. And it would be nice to get one of those. Or even going back to last year, Fitzy, I keep going back to that Tennessee game. If that game had ended on the throw for the touchdown, I think that would have been a different feel and narrative. He needs one of those wow moments. Or for a Red Sox thing, everybody goes back to, like, Mookie Betts at Fenway Park or Rafaela's walk-off. Like, these things where in your head you're like, that's him. That's when he's at his best. That's what he's going to be. And he has, in fact, if we believe, like, McDaniels, like, the good thing is, well, when they were bringing all that pressure, the wheels didn't fall off. Like, that's what we're going with. Wheels didn't fall off.
And I asked you guys yesterday, what's the best, you know, kind of thing he did in the preseason game? And no, not surprisingly, you guys, you know, were hesitated. And it was basically the only thing I could come up with is he made a good check
and great.
Into a run.
He's got a great personality.
You know,
nice handoff to Henderson.
He saw two safeties deep and thought, you know what? I think we should hand the ball off. And so, look, that's part of the game, but the bigger part is the other stuff, right?
Obviously. Absolutely. But I will say, I have, other than a few people that have been on the hate Drake all along, we don't have much anti-Drake narrative. And you know what has actually helped that? Joe Milton kind of sucking in Dallas as well. We would have had more Drake questions if Joe Milton was lighting it up in Dallas, but Dallas already has buyer's remorse, and they're worrying about what they're going to do when Dak misses his usual games this year because Joe Milton stinks. So that is one thing that has helped Drake May avoid the hate. Also, an update for Tom Curran. We got a number of texts that Orlando Woldridge went to Notre Dame. That's where Orlando Woldridge, whoever that may be, went to college. So, Tom, just an update there.
Can I just give you real quick on Joe Milton? I got a text from my buddy who does radio down at the Fan in Dallas.
Uh-oh.
Saturday night, 8:24, I get a text. Joe Milton sucks. Right? Question mark, question
mark. How does he really feel
all
about
hat, no cowboy, right? Like he's comically bad. Was his second text back to me? So that's what is being said about Joe Milton down in Dallas.
Yes, Dimble.
Was that after the pick he threw in the end zone or the safety that he took?
There was a lot to choose from. I think there was a safety one. I think that's the one that got him.
Yeah, there are a couple to choose from in that one.
He's the ultimate long drive guy, right? He can hit the ball 500 yards, but he can't play golf. He can throw the ball and do a backflip, but he can't actually play the quarterback position. But, you know, some people compared that trade to, what was it, Babe Ruth or something?
Babe Ruth. I don't know who that was.
Andy, real quick, slightly in advance of trending coming up in the 4 o'clock hour as well. Cotillo just put out the Red Sox lineup and no password.
Yeah, I didn't. I would have been stunned if the password had been in the lineup
based on, but
he was in Worcester hugging people to get to New York and get his ass in the lineup. Would have been strange. But up next here on WEEI Afternoons, we need to preview this Patriots finale in New York. Who do you want to see? Who do you need to see? What do you need to see? What do you hope to see? That's all next here on WEEI Afternoons.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.